here is meaning. What's here is a heart. And it touches me greatly. So I'm a lucky man. I'm done. We've had three sermons. And let's think. I'll get out of the way for a minute because I want to look at the sermons that were given today. Kim and Hadley and Harrison lit those three candles, and that touched me because they're more than candles. Do you remember what they called them? There's the candle of peace. And there's the candle of love. And the one lit today was the candle of the spirit of joy. What a joyful day it is in kind of this dreary snowstorm. What light. And then the youth. Anne, thank you for leading us in that sermon. And the youth, what'd they tell us? They walked us through Luke, the story of what we've been waiting for here in Advent. Advent's a time of waiting, isn't it? And they reminded us that waiting is good. Anticipation is good. And they said, we wait for the light of the world, is what they said. And we, following the Prince of Peace, become the light of the world to those around us. So let me try this. Bear with me. I did work on a sermon, so I'll make sure we get through it promptly, because I do want to lift up our time together in second hour. I hope you feel welcomed to our Advent service. Our sole aim here right now is to honor God with our presence, and you did it. Not only are you present, you gave it in song and in sermon. And so today we come together to share a timeless story. This story happens to be the one about a prophesied force. It happens to be the one who came to repair the world, the one bringing hope and joy, something that lifts us up a little bit. Have you ever thought of Jesus as a repairman? No disrespect intended, but Jesus is the one sent to bring light back into a dark world by repairing brokenness. Permit me to share an experience of a repairman. It was a cold Saturday evening several months ago, and Mary and I were preparing dinner, getting ready for a meal with friends. And as things happen, the sink started leaking. Yep. Water was running all over the floor as we're waiting to get this meal on the table. Who could help us? No plumber's going to come at 5 o'clock on a Saturday. You can quote me on that. But we had one hope. We knew a good-hearted repairman. At our call, he left his own dinner preparations and came to save ours. After checking the plumbing, crawling around, hands and knees, he found the problem. The problem was the sink had been installed incorrectly. We remodeled our kitchen a year ago. The plumbers put the sink in wrong. The drain pipe was too short, you see, and the connection had failed. Water all over the floor. It took an insightful repairman to find the problem. And you know what he did? He fixed that problem once and for all. You see, that problem had always been there. We just didn't know it. Until he came, it remained wrong. So what does Scripture have to say about waiting for the world to be repaired at Advent? What does it say about the humble beginning of the repairman who came to announce the peaceable rule of God? We're going to read two humble songs today. Actually, we read them. Thank you, Marilyn, for reading through those. The first one in the Old Testament is 126. It's called a song of ascent. It's a prayer believed to be written by King Solomon. Ascent, you know what that is? It means to climb. This is a prayer about looking up. Looking to a heavenly place. It's called Zion in the Old Testament. And it's written, this psalm written, is anticipating the joy of one who can repair brokenness between humanity and God. Us two come into one. It's a historical account of a nation of Hebrew captives released from decades of bondage. It's history. And you know, history's for historians. Let's focus on the spiritual today. The first two verses, if you read it again, Psalms 126, says, as if walking in a dream, the slaves of darkness sowed seeds in bitterness, but in joyful freedom they carried harvested sheaves of wheat. It's a harvest they're dreaming about. I don't know what you dream about. Do you have your little snowflakes? Did you get a little snowflake when you walked in? Grab that snowflake, and before you get too bored, write on that snowflake your Advent dream. Don't have to sign your names. Don't have to write a big sermon. Just a couple words. What's your dream this Advent? See, Solomon had a dream for his people. He was anticipating a life force that renews these lost folks. He calls on God to bring his people joy. That's what this psalm's about. And you know what? God answered his prayer in a surprising way, in the most humble of ways. God didn't answer that prayer for fortune. Solomon prayed for fortune for his people, not in money. God answered with the fortune of renewed life from a repairman. Luke 1 is the song of Mary. It's a prayer. She's anticipating this child that our youth told us about. This passage is called the Magnificat. And I'm not a Latin scholar, but I looked it up. And Magnificat means my soul. Thanksgiving from my soul. So that's what you heard sung, and that's what you heard read. It's one of eight of the most ancient Christian hymns sung. And in fact, a lot of folks still sing it at Vesper and at Evensong, which is a sunset worship. It's about Mary. It's about Mary, who's chosen among all humanity to give life to a son of light. She doesn't know what that means. I'm not sure I know what it all means. And so, without being able to understand it all, she humbly accepted it. Stunned by an announcement, this teen mom from a gritty desert town sounds more like a wise prophet, excuse me. We think of prophets as those old men in the Old Testament. This is a woman, a teenager, who speaks words of thanks. And she says thanks for a Jesus that brings three things. It's in that verse. Read them. The first one is mercy. She gives thanks for a son of humanity who gives mercy. And then the second thing she says is thanks for lifting up humble people. And then third, thanks God for filling the hungry. But sending away the empty rich. That's a funny prayer, isn't it? Well, how does that fit into one of your Advent wishes? Mercy, humbleness, and a feeding of our hungry souls. Let's close. While you're writing, let's close. I'd like you to, if you would, just take your Advent snowflake and leave it here. Could you hang it? Put it on the tree. I like that, Kim. Put those Advent snowflakes on the tree. What a great idea. So at offering, bring your offering and offer your Advent snowflake on the tree. So what have we heard? Solomon waits for joy in the midst of weeping. He waits for fortune in the midst of loss. Mary waits for mercy, humility, and serving the hungry. The hungry people of a new community that Jesus brings. They're both waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting for Christmas Day. What's going to come out of it? Well, I hate to say it, but mercy's kind of out of fashion right now. But when we look in, when we look in to ourselves and really spend some time in prayer and discernment, mercy's probably the best gift we're going to give this year. Let's take humility. That one's also kind of in short supply, isn't it? It comes when we look up to the eternal, when we realize there's something really good out there. When we take time to know a God of hope, and then we look out. Then we can look out, seeing the needs of our neighbors, our friends around us, those in this family, and those strangers that we've never met. When we seek those hungry for just a word of kindness, or maybe just a touch of compassion. Mary understands the worldly rich are a little bit too distracted to do that well. Let's not be distracted. Amazingly, did you pick it up? Mary repeats the words of the Beatitudes that Jesus teaches 30 years later. Check that out. Read the Beatitudes in Matthew, then read Mary's Magnificat. There's a striking resemblance. So are you like Mary or Solomon this season? We're all waiting, aren't we? Let's quit waiting. I think it's time to call the repairman. It's time for the one who comes as a humble child, grown to a village carpenter, who will repair and restore the world. People, let's get ready.